am Public Investor 12-03894, found in bad faith for telling truths Wall Street wants covered up. I prefer being called Six-Pack Sally, swinging at low-hanging fruit on Wall Street. And over the course of 9 years after the Securities and Exchange Commission asked me to be their investment client whistleblower, a victim of Don J. Bennett, the hoodoo investment advisor was found guilty on all 17 counts as charged. I've become a voice for investment clients, a voice for the good investment advisors. Please subscribe to my podcast and become a Patreon. Maryland Federal Bureau of Investigation Special Agent Keith Custer could not talk about Don Bennett's Ponzi scam past. All Keith Custer could do was focus on the information the Securities and Exchange Commission gave to the U.S. attorneys and Federal Bureau of Investigation. Nothing in that information talked about Don Bennett's 28-year history of Ponzi scams the Securities and Exchange Commission knew all about, that FINRA, the Financial Industry Regulatory, and the NASD, National Association of Securities Dealers, knew all about. Call it legal liposuction, making the extra fat, the meat, go away. Papers filed into the D.C. District of Columbia Federal Court, E. Barrett Prettyman Federal Court, show Bennett's Ponzi scam had been going on for decades. For decades. Known by the Securities and Exchange Commission, FINRA, the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, for decades. The Ponzi scam Warren Buffett got sales pitched, no different than investors are pitched to, buy into, one stock or another. Point is, no one knows where the lie ends and truth begins. Jeff and Paulette Karpoff, Warren Buffett's Ponzi scammers, lived high off their hogs. What is that expression? Pigs get fat and hogs get slaughtered. Maybe it is time for Warren to break down Berkshire Hathaway and sell. After all, Warren famously says it is the mistake Buffett bought. Make that revenge bought. California FBI Special Agent Christopher Phillips said in his D.C. Solar Solutions affidavit, D.C. Solar Incorporated represented no less than 12,000 mobile solar generators were manufactured and in use. In truth, it appears as few to 3,000 to 5,000 mobile solar generators has been assembled. Maryland FBI Special Agent Keith Custer's affidavit detailed what Bennett et al. Claimed to manufacture, but did not in DJB Holdings' purported company. California Special Agent Christopher Phillips said, in my training and experience, the use of investor money to lull investors into believing the transaction is legitimate and profit-making is evidence of a Ponzi-type investment fraud scheme. I seem to see that California FBI Special Agent Christopher Phillips and Maryland Federal Bureau of Investigation Special Agent Keith Custer are on the same training page. California Federal Bureau of Investigation Special Agent Christopher Phillips said, there is probable cause to believe that the investor funds paid to the company are the result of an investments and tax fraud scheme and that individuals 1 and 2 have committed wire fraud in connection with the scheme. California Federal Bureau of Investigation Special Agent Christopher Phillips further says, accordingly, there is probable cause to believe that individuals 1 and 2 in connection with the purchase of real property and vehicles, have engaged in monetary transaction involving criminally derived funds. Maryland FBI Special Agent Keith Custer said in Custer's declaration filed in Maryland in the Don Bennett. In December 2015, the Baltimore Division of the FBI was contacted by representatives from the Philadelphia Regional Office of the Securities and Exchange Commission Enforcement Division regarding potential criminal acts being committed by Bennett, a registered investment advisor. On September 9, 2015, the Securities and Exchange Commission issued a press release in which they announced charges against Bennett for allegedly inflating both the amount of assets under management of her firm, Bennett Group Financial Services, BGFS, and the investment returns obtained by BGFS. The SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, alleged that this took place on Bennett's paid weekly radio program entitled Financial Mythbusting with Don Bennett, which began airing on AM radio in Maryland and Washington, D.C. in 2010. During the course of their investigation, the Securities and Exchange Commission was alerted to potential criminal activity unrelated to the September 2015 charges, which the Securities and Exchange Commission brought to the FBI's attention. Specifically, the SEC was contacted by a representative from Old Line Bank in Waldorf, Maryland, regarding one of Old Line Bank's clients, Individual One. Individual One is an 80-year-old female from Maryland. Why the Bennett tip came in from Philadelphia FBI, then sent to Maryland rather than D.C., the only place Bennett Group Financial Services was approved by the Securities and Exchange to do business, I do not know yet, other than Wharton is in P.A., Pennsylvania. Wharton knew Don Bennett was falsely claiming to be a Wharton grad. There is that one family of known victims in Pennsylvania. They did not call cops. They said the Federal Bureau of Investigation told them they were robbed, but not so bluntly. Maybe the call center for Old Line Bank is in Pennsylvania. After all, there is trial testimony of a security person from the Old Line Bank calling the Maryland bank location itself to speak with the 80-year-old victim. We all in court could see, Don Bennett able to hear as we all in court could, Ponzi scammer Don Bennett overspeaking Diane Keefe to answer the bank security team wanting to understand why the bank's elderly client was withdrawing thousands of dollars at a time, several times. Oh, I wish I could hug and squeeze and thank that man in person. I wish I could for what he did, for what I could not do publicly because the Securities and Exchange Commission and FINRA, Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, silenced me. Affidavits is what FBI special agents do. Your affiant, Keith A. Custer, being first duly sworn, deposes and states as follows. Introduction. I am a special agent with the Federal Bureau of Investigation, FBI, United States Department of Justice. I have been employed by the FBI for approximately 10 years, during which time I have been assigned to the Baltimore Division. I am currently assigned to a white-collar crime squad, and I have received instruction and training, along with investigative experience in securities fraud, mortgage fraud, financial institution fraud, healthcare fraud, and money laundering. In addition, I have received training in computer forensics and electronic mail, email analysis, and in the course of conducting or participating in criminal investigations, I have been involved in interviewing and debriefing witnesses and informants, conducting physical surveillance, analyzing bank records and other financial documents, analyzing telephone records, collecting and analyzing evidence, and preparing and executing search warrants, including search warrants for email accounts. I have personally participated in this investigation and have witnessed many of the facts and circumstances described herein. I have also received information from other law enforcement officers relating to this investigation. The information set forth in this affidavit is based upon my own observations and review of documents, or reliable information provided to me by other law enforcement personnel. I am setting forth only those facts and circumstances necessary to establish probable cause for the issuance of the requested search warrants. Unless otherwise indicated, all written and oral statements referred to herein are set forth in substance and in part rather than verbatim. There is one more training Special Agent Custer has received instruction in. Non-credit. No fee, but spot on. Keith Custer is an approved sophomore in Carrie Devers' School of Whistleblower Documents Talk course for law enforcement, misled by the Securities and Exchange Commission and FINRA, Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, as to what facts are rather than what SEC and FINRA claim facts to be. At some point before all this, the FBI, Federal Bureau of Investigation, may have held a grand jury, purpose of which is to test run their case like a dress rehearsal. There was a dress rehearsal in the Don Bennett case. Grand jury felt there was enough to take to trial. Question: male and female reportedly were asked if they had sex with Miss Bennett. Back to Warren Buffett's Ponzi scammers. Court documents named an unnamed couple who diverted most of the investments from the generator leasing scheme to a company they created to fund lavish shopping sprees that covered vacation homes, $19 million worth of private jet trips, 90 cars, and tickets for a $782,000 luxury box at the Las Vegas Raiders Stadium to be. Don Bennett, the hoodoo investment advisor, diverted millions to pay for a luxury box at Cowboy Stadium in Dallas. Don J. Bennett was not licensed in Texas for her company, Bennett Group Financial Services. Bennett Group Financial Services was licensed in the District of Columbia only, not Texas. Don Bennett was an independent contractor. A Western International Securities Investment Advisory Firm salesperson approved by Western International Securities Investment Advisory Firm by FINRA, Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, in Texas and each and every state of the Union, territories too. Don Bennett contracted 2007 with Cowboy Stadium, AT&T Stadium, home of the Dallas Cowboys, to pay $500,000 a year for 20 years for Hall of Fame Box 242. Cowboy Stadium lawyer Arnold Shakui said his box is next to Bennett's and that Shakui never saw Bennett in that box. 242. Seems like birds of a Ponzi feather flock together to spending stolen cash on football stadium special boxes. The usual suspects pour out of the woodwork when the Securities and Exchange Commission files a complaint. Firms like Goodman and Nexfacil, PA, put out online feelers seeking victims, offering to may help you. The Clearwater, Florida law firm says Goodman Nekvasil is a national practice representing victimized investors and has recovered, allegedly, more than $180 million on behalf of victimized investors. Goodman and Nekvasil pounced on, directly emailed victims of Don J. Bennett within days of Don J. Bennett being convicted in Greenbelt, Maryland court on all 17 counts as charged. Question is, how did Goodman and Nekvasil know who the victims were? Where to find them? The United States government victim witnesses' names and addresses were not made public outside of the trial, most transcripts of which were not made public at the time Goodman and Nekvasil reached out to Don Bennett victims like Rosemary Hesterberg. Kalju Nekvasil, Esquire, promotes as a formerly regional counsel with the NASD, National Association of Securities Dealers, now known as FINRA, Financial Industry Regulatory Authority. Did FINRA leak the victims' names to FINRA Financial Industry Regulatory Authority affiliates? The Securities and Exchange Commission says the Securities and Exchange Commission has enforcement oversight. Did the Securities and Exchange Commission leak the names to FINRA's affiliates? It wasn't the U.S. attorneys or the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Their letters and emails to victim witnesses confirms the USAA office and FBI cannot operate in a legal capacity for the victims. The victims were being used again, tossed back out where wolves of Wall Street found them. FINRA says FINRA has enforcement oversight. Enforcement is not law enforcement. FINRA Financial Industry Regulatory Authority attorney testifying in the USA versus Bennett matter, Greg Sudlow, explained how the FINRA Financial Industry Regulatory Authority enters crime scenes without cops, without law enforcement teams responding to the crime scene first. Removal of evidence from a crime scene is evidence tampering. Engaging with witnesses is witness tampering. The Securities and Exchange Commission got caught on this by me in the Securities and Exchange Commission versus Don Bennett, Bradley Maskow, and DJB Holding Matters, first and second. Then Supreme Court of the United States issued SCOTUS opinions. Securities and Exchange Commission and FINRA Financial Industry Regulatory Authority do not stop. Warren Buffett's Ponzi scammers, Jeff and Paulette Karpoff's renewable energy scam, was not Buffett's first time connected to fraud, intentionally or other. Scammers had circulated emails and other communication in the name of Howard G. Buffett Foundation and Howard W. Buffett allegedly soliciting for grant-making. Buffett's people got on top of it, got the word out it was not Warren. Recipients were told to forward emails to the Internet Crime Complaint Center, IC3, a partnership between the Federal Bureau of Investigation and the National White Collar Crime Center. The Securities and Exchange Commission cover-up of the Karpoff renewable energy scam denied Warren his chance to save his investors' monies. What will Warren do? Call me, Buff Baby. Call me. I'll walk you through the steps. Another con put out a chatty piece allegedly from Best Regards Your Friend, Howard Warren Buffett, Executive Director, HGBF, alleging, "How are you doing together with your family and your real estate business? I am privately looking for fiduciary agents and management experts who will be willing to act as investment portfolio holders and administrators on my behalf. I wish to invite you to participate as a broker or agent to my equity investment portfolio management program with a primary focus on private, public, and commercial equity in any part of the world with US $100 million private and corporate investment portfolios. Currently, I have a backlog of an excess maximum return capital profit, EMRCP, of an average of 20% on agricultural investment in Africa under my administration and control, as I am working with U.S. Department of Agriculture under President Barack Obama. And that was mailed from an hwb14.83@gmail.com. Oh, this was not a one-off scam, and it happened again. Preventable. We will talk at some time on this. And now, this time, the Oracle of Wall Street is a victim in what the Securities and Exchange Commission described as an $800 million scam. Like I said, the Securities and Exchange Commission math is creative and usually short of crime dollar accuracy. In the matter, I was asked by the Securities and Exchange Commission, asked me to be their whistleblower on the U.S. attorneys in the trial of USA versus Don Bennett, laid out how Bennett and her team, Bradley Maskow, John Corey, rolled Bennett's DJB holding alleged promissory notes over at 90 days. More than 90 days is when a promissory note is considered a security. Point of sharing, these scammers are always one step ahead of where cops can go before cops even know to go there. I do seem to recall hearing something said about lawyers giving advice on how to avoid oversight, but that was in the Bennett trial matter. In Warren Buffett's Ponzi scam matters, the investment funds were managed by companies called SM and SMS Inc. SM and SM Inc. were tied to Karpov's Benicia-based company. FBI Special Agent Phillips said the purported lease revenue from third parties was a critical component of the transaction because the investment funds provided no money other than that initially contributed by the investors that covered only approximately 30% of the transaction. To sweeten an investor's taste for the tax benefit, Karpov's company said it sold its mobile solar generators to LLCs, limited liability companies created specifically for this purpose in the fraud transactions, marketing the solar generator units as good investment because investors could receive substantial tax benefits, including the 30% of the $150,000 transaction per generator as tax credit for alternative energy and by deducting depreciation for 5 years. Small revenue streams were promised through leases with third parties. Investments were owned 99% by investors with 1% owned by the fund manager affiliated with the company. After 5 years, ownership structure flipped, with the manager owning 95% of the fund and investors owning 5%. But investors could sell their ownership, which they found appealing because after 5 years they wouldn't get further tax benefits. FBI Special Agent Phillips said the Karpov's operation was involved in wire fraud, conspiracy to commit wire fraud, investment and tax fraud. Sounds familiar, a go-to of counts Ponzi scammers are charged with. FBI's investigation identified more than a dozen investors who made deals with the company to fund MSG's through 33 investment funds. So be good, be back, please subscribe, and become a patron. Please visit our websites, www.centerforcopyrightintegrity.com and www.thewallstreetwhistleblowers.com. Please LinkedIn. Everyone knows at least one other person a victim of Wall Street crime. We can lift this matter together into politics' forefront where it should be for the next election cycle. You work too hard for someone you thought was a friend to live the life you never dreamed of, off your time invested and your dime earned. So share our podcast, share your papers. I want to see them. The arbitrators, the lawyers, the agreement you signed. You have nothing to fear. Wall Street has everything to fear. Until next time.